Lord, we love you. And we do, we bow our hearts before you right now. We bow before you humbly and recognize that you are God, Jesus. And that you're our Savior and that we need you. And that you and in you and you alone there is life, true life, now and forevermore. And we are nothing without you, but in you, Christ Jesus, we are everything. We're children of God now. We're members of the holy family of all eternity with our Heavenly Father. Jesus, thank you for coming. Thank you for being born, for putting on flesh. Thank you for becoming our Savior. We celebrate you. We acknowledge you. We worship you this morning and every moment of every day, for it is only in you that we have breath and that we live and move and have our being. It's because of you. We acknowledge that. We recognize you, Jesus, the Son of God, our Savior, born of man, because of love. Thank you, Jesus. Open up our hearts and our minds this morning as we study your word, as we think of you this morning. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Matthew 22:42 records Jesus asking the people of the day and asking us even today in this timeless book, the Word of God, the Bible, he's asking, what do you think about the Christ? What do you think about the Christ? Last week we covered part one of our Christmas series. It's just a mini-series, two-week mini-series on Christmas. We've taken a break from our chapter-by-chapter exposition and journey through the book of 1 Corinthians. We'll be back in that in a couple weeks. We took a couple weeks to focus on this question that Jesus asked all those years ago. What do you think about the Christ? We're borrowing heavily and directly from an old school preacher that I just love to read. His name is J.C. Ryle. Check him out, late 1800s. What ye thou for thinkest, and all that kind of talk. It's interesting reading, but it's good. It'll challenge your mind a little bit, okay? We're borrowing heavily and directly from him in this two-part miniseries. And the title of this Christmas miniseries is, What Do You Think of Christ? What do you think of Christ? Last week, we covered part one, and we answered why all men ought to think of Christ. Not just some, not just the religious ones, not just the pastors, not just the Sunday school teachers, but why all men ought to think of Christ. And I want to just quickly review those four points. Number one, because of the office that Christ has filled between God and man. God's word says that he is our mediator. Christ Jesus, that little baby that was born in a manger, God himself, became, when he came down to this earth, became the mediator between us and our Heavenly Father. He made a way where there was no way. There was no way that we would ever have relationship with God again, except Jesus came. All men ought to think of Christ. Number two, why should all men think of Christ? Because of what Christ has done for all men. He came. He gave his life for us. He rescued us. He gave us everything. All men ought to think of Christ. Number three, we talked about all men need to be thinking of Christ. They've got to because of what Christ will yet do to all men. And we mentioned that earlier this morning, that he's coming back. We're celebrating that Christ came and he was born, became a man, and became the Savior of the world, but he's coming back. And there's going to be a day when he's going to judge the living and the dead. And every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And today is the day for us to bow our knee, to humble ourselves and declare that he is Lord. Amen. And number four, all men ought to think of Christ because Christ is the grand subject of the Bible, really of history. It's all about Jesus. You go back to the beginning and you go to the end. It's all prophesying of Him, and it's all declaring and remembering Him and glorifying Him. Jesus is the grand subject of the Bible, of everything. Amen? All men ought to think of Christ. But it seems that around Christmas time, that the world and even our flesh within us, everything is trying to pull us away from thinking of Christ. Everything around us and that flesh, that old nature in us is trying to keep us from thinking of Christ. And so many people and even believers are running around today, and we're all stressed out and we're all worried and we're all thinking, what are we going to serve for dinner on Christmas? And what are we going to do for Christmas Eve? Now we found out that Heaven and Life Church is having this really cool, chilled out Christmas time, and it's awesome, and especially for the kids and everything. And what are we going to do on Christmas Eve? And is that going to fit into our schedule? And I still have Christmas shopping to do. I've already maxed out the limit on my credit cards. And how am I going to pay for that? I don't know. I can't worry about that right now. I'll worry about that at the beginning of the year. And it just goes crazy. Even for believers, for many of you probably sitting here today. I tried to do some Christmas shopping yesterday. I struck out. Sorry, kids. It'll be good. It'll all be good. We're going to go to the Evident Life Church Christmas Eve service, so it's all good. All right. But the craziness of what's going on and everything dragging us away from thinking about Christ, what about Jesus? What about Jesus on Christmas? Are we thinking of Him? What about Jesus? Are we being consumed by Him? Right now we should be. This week we continue this two-part miniseries as we're going to explore today's title and topic, What True Christians Think About Christ. What true Christians think about Christ. Ryle introduces this segment with the following statement. He says this. He says, the thoughts I'm going to describe are not the thoughts of many. I admit this most fully. It would be vain to deny it. You see, the number of right thinkers about Christ in every age has been small. The true Christians among professing Christians have always been few. If it were not so, the Bible would have told an untruth. And he quotes God's word here in Matthew 7 and Philippians 3. And he says, straight is the gate, says the Lord Jesus. And narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Aren't you grateful I don't speak that way every Sunday? Many walk, says Paul, of whom I tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction. Again, Ryle was quoting Matthew 7 from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and then Paul's writing to the church in Philippi from Philippians 3. And this morning, as we're going to be celebrating, and really all week, and hopefully every day of our lives, celebrating the joy of the birth of Jesus Christ, we're going to cover five identifying marks, or five characteristics that are evident in the life of a true Christian. And I tend to agree with all five of these that Ryle points out. God's word backs it up and agrees with it. And I want us in this time, as we're looking at these five characteristics that define really a true believer, that we examine our own lives, that we don't just let it go in one ear and out the other. We don't go, well, there's the 5 points the pastor preached, and let's write it down, and oh, that was good. I agree with four of them. That fifth one, I don't know about. You know, all that stuff that we start doing. Let's really examine our lives, each one of these points, each one of these characteristics as they come up. Think about ourselves. And where I don't want us to go is this. I don't want us to go to condemnation. We talked about it earlier from John 3:17. He didn't come in the world to condemn the world, but to save us, right? To give us life and that to the full. So what I want us to do is, we're looking at these five characteristics that define a true Christian. I want us to go, amen, that is true. And yes, I see some of that in my life. And yes, there needs to be more of that. I need to think more this way about Christ and more that way about Christ. And just allow God to come and give you all you need for life and godliness. Peter's writing from 2 Peter was talked about this morning, how he gives us all we need for life and godliness. His grace is enough. He'll lead us and guide us into living this way. So let's not get all blah this morning when we hear this, but let's get excited that we get to and we can think more and more this way about Christ. Number one, true Christians have high thoughts of Christ. It's Christmas, right? It's a good time to be thinking about Jesus. And true Christians have high thoughts of Christ. They see Him as a wondrous person. When a believer thinks of Jesus, they go, wow! Jesus! Yes, Jesus! Oh, thank you that I'm remembering Jesus right now. And when we think of Him, it blows our minds. We go, wow, what a wondrous person who is fully God, able to save us, and who is also at the exact same time fully man, able to feel. He's been there, done that. He can identify with me. He's amazing. Jesus. Wow. True believers, they see Jesus as an all-powerful Redeemer, able to save, forgiven their countless debts and their sins. Jesus came and He took my sin upon Him fully and completely. It's done. God's Word says it's finished. Jesus said it's finished, and my sin in Him now has been removed as far as the east is from the west. Jesus is an almighty, sufficient Redeemer. We've got to have high thoughts of Christ on Christmas and at all times. True believers see Jesus as an almighty friend, a friend who left heaven chasing after us. Somebody gave a word about that this morning. How He loves us so much. That was you, Austin. How much He loves us. We adore Him. We were singing that. He adores us. He's an almighty friend. And they see Jesus as an almighty physician who is able to heal us spiritually, to heal our souls, to heal our spirits, to remove those things, those sicknesses of sin, and put us in healthy standing. But He's also that great physician that's able to heal our bodies, that's able to do far above and beyond what we could ever hope for or imagine. I'm looking to Jesus even today for that. I'm reminding myself and having high thoughts of Him that He is my great physician. He has healed my soul. He has put me in right relationship with my Heavenly Father, but I'm crying out to Him today for my back, which has been in pain for the last couple days once again. Severe pain, hard to get out of bed, hard to stand up. But I have high thoughts of Christ. He is my healer. Amen. The person who thinks this way about Christ is a happy person, by the way. Do you want to be happy this Christmas? I can't resist. Happy, happy, happy. It's all over the news today, right? Phil Robertson, Duck Commander. Happy, happy, happy. You want to be a happy, happy person? You need to have high thoughts of Christ. What do you think of Christ? Do you think of Christ this way? Number two, true Christians have trustful thoughts of Christ. Trustful thoughts. We have high thoughts and we have trustful thoughts. True Christians daily trust Christ in faith with the peace of their souls. They don't trust themselves and what they can do and how they can wake up this morning and manage their lives so perfectly that, man, it's just going to be a good day and they're going to experience peace and joy. They don't trust themselves. They trust Jesus. They have trustful thoughts of Christ for the peace of their souls, not themselves. They daily commit the care of their souls to Jesus. You know, I think of when I was writing these down and contemplating them, praying through this message this morning, I thought of how crazy it is that I ride roller coasters sometimes. And it's crazy because I can't stand heights. I fell out of a tree when I was a young boy, and ever since then, I don't sleep on my back because I skinned my back all up and couldn't do that for weeks, and I just don't like heights. And I was swinging from branch to branch, one gave, but I go on roller coasters. My daughter loves roller coasters, I found out, and when we were at Disneyland several years ago, California Adventure, the California Screamer, we went on that, and she wanted to ride that thing again and again and again in the front seat the whole time, and I just, as a good daddy, I went with her, but I kept thinking, okay, I trust that this roller coaster is going to go up and down and up and down and going to deliver me right back where we started safe. And so I had to begin to have trustful thoughts of that roller coaster. And I think to myself, I was thinking about this week, I thought, if I can have trustful thoughts of a roller coaster made by man, which sometimes they break, by the way, sorry kids, but they do, and if I'm able to do that, how much more should I have trustful thoughts of Jesus? That He's not going to leave me hanging. He's going to be with me in the highs of life and in the lows of life. I can trust Him at all times. He's going to deliver me into eternity safely and completely. I can trust Him. True believers, we need to live with those thoughts of Jesus always. That we trust Him with our everything. Our everything. Daily clinging to Him. Just as a child will cling to his mother as they're going through a busy store or something. Holding on. We need to be that way with Jesus. Clinging to Him. There are days when I wake up and I'm stressed out the moment I open my eyes. The moment I come to, I'm stressed out. I got to have trustful thoughts of Christ right then. Because otherwise, that stress is going to take me over and that's going to control my life that day. And the enemy is so good at coming in and just stressing us out immediately. We've got to wake up having trustful thoughts of Christ, knowing that He is God and our lives are in Him today and forever. I want to read through these other characteristics of a believer who is living out of this reality of having trustful thoughts of Christ. And as I read through these characteristics very quickly, think about your own life and think about these areas where you're already doing this and maybe where you can jump on board and enjoy that peace and joy that we have when we have these kind of trustful thoughts of Christ. You see, for a believer, Christ is the rock under their feet. The rock under their feet. I'm just remembering in pre-service prayer, somebody prayed that over me this morning. Thank you for that, by the way. He's the rock under my feet and the backbone. Christina, thank you for praying that. I remember that. He's the staff in their hands. For the true believer, Jesus is their ark and their city of refuge, not their bank account. Jesus is their city of refuge, their sun and their shield, their bread and their medicine, their health and their light, their fountain and their shelter. Jesus is their portion in their home, their door and their ladder, their advocate and their physician, their captain and their elder. For the true believer, Jesus is their life, their hope, and their all. As followers of Christ, we need to have trustful thoughts of Christ. And when we do, we will be the happiest people walking around this planet. Do you want to be happy this Christmas? Have trustful thoughts of Christ. Wake up every morning trusting Jesus Christ. He's able. He's good. We know that. What do you think of Christ? Number three, true Christians have experimental thoughts of Christ. I couldn't wait to say that, by the way. This is one of the points that Ryle has. I read it and I'm like, whoa, where's he going with that? True Christians have experimental thoughts of Christ. This is exciting. The true Christian doesn't simply think of Christ with their head alone. See, Jesus isn't just a mental assent to a true believer. Not just a happy thought He's not simply a warm, fuzzy thought. Too often, we make Jesus just this warm, fuzzy, cuddly little baby that we think about. And we just think of him, and we just have these mental ascents and these happy thoughts about Christ. But for the true believer, they've learned who Jesus is not only from taking classes, not only from listening to sermons. They've learned who Jesus is not only from what others have said, but they have learned and they know and they have thoughts of Jesus because they've experienced him. A true believer has experimental or experiential thoughts of Jesus. It's like this. I thought of it this way. You know, there's this, you go to the store and there's this amazing suit sitting over there. And you're like, wow, that is a good looking suit right there. You admire it. You look at it. You admire it. And some people, that's as far as they go. They just look at that amazing set of clothes. For a woman, that's probably a dress. For a man, it's a suit or an outfit or a basketball uniform or socks these days. These basketball players love all these fancy, crazy, expensive socks. I don't get it. Okay, so it's this amazing suit that you're looking at. But most people, all they do is they look at it. They admire it. They tell their friends about it. Did you go over to that store? Did you see that amazing suit? Wow, it's incredible. It's incredible. But a true believer is going to look at that suit and not just look at it and admire it and say wonderful things about it, but they're going to go and they're going to put it on. And the thing is this, it's free, by the way. It's already been paid for. You know, that's another thing we don't understand. But a true believer goes and they put that suit on. And they start walking around and living with that suit on. They experience it. They start experiencing it and wearing it, not just looking at it, admiring it, and thinking warm, fuzzy thoughts about it. They put it on. They make it their own. And that's what a true believer does with experimental or experiential thoughts of Christ. A true believer is going to say, yes, this is who Jesus is, so much so I believe it that I'm going to live it out. That I'm gonna actually walk it out. I thought of it this way too. That many believers, we think of Jesus as our healer. Jesus is my healer. I believe it. He heals. I believe that. But often he's the last person we go to when we're not feeling well. We'll go to the medicine cabinet first, pop some ibuprofen. A true believer sees Jesus, if we see Jesus truly as our physician, as our healer, we're not going to go to him as a last option. We're going to be seeking him immediately. When we're sick, we're going to think Jesus is my healer. He's my great physician. I'm going to cry out to him. And then we're not going to just give up after one prayer. We're going to keep going to him and going to him. I'll go ahead and talk about my back situation. It's interesting, and maybe this is just being used right now for this example. I don't know. I pray it is, Lord, and I go home tonight when we're or this morning when we're finished here and I'm totally healed. But I had a major back problem for 6 months where literally getting out of bed hurt. Sometimes I didn't want to. It hurt so bad. I wanted to cry. It hurt so bad. Grown man crying because his back hurting. Okay, it's starting to feel that way again. But for 6 months, it felt that way. Prayed for 6 months. I had my brothers and sisters here in the church praying for me for 6 months. Every time I was in a prayer meeting, it was time for somebody to prayer request, I'd raise my hand. Pray for my back. Pray for my back. Some people think, oh, that's silly. You only need to ask God one time. Jesus didn't say that. He said, keep asking, keep knocking, you know, keep coming, keep coming, keep coming. He talked about the persistent widow. She was rewarded because she kept coming, she kept coming, she kept coming. It's not a lack of faith. You're not bothering God when you keep coming to him and asking him for healing, for provision, for peace, for whatever it is you need in your life that lines up with his will and his word. It's not. It's faith. It's obedience. Okay. For 6 months, I did that. The Lord supernaturally healed me. I mean, it was like one morning I woke up and it was healed. I'd been diagnosed with a pinched nerve and all this problem in my back. One day it was healed completely. I've been living that way for 3 months now. So this thing's coming back. What am I going to do? Oh, no, 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 no. Jesus, I have high thoughts of him, trustful thoughts of him. And I have experimental, experiential thoughts of him. I have tasted and I have seen that he is good. I know that he is my healer, and I will continue to cry out for him and believe him for healing. Many Christians, you know, they know that Jesus is with them. They understand that the whole biblical concept and reality that Jesus is here with me. They understand the Holy Spirit has been sent and He's here with me. But sometimes they just settle with the knowing that stuff rather than experiencing it also. Jesus Himself said that my sheep, they hear my voice, they know my voice. Do you know that we can hear the voice of God, that we can experience His presence? We sang about it this morning even. His presence is all I need, all I want. That's what we have in Christ Jesus. We can experience Him. We can know He's here with us. We can get guidance from Him, from His Word, and also from the Holy Spirit, which will always line up with His Word. But we can experience Jesus. We can go from it just being up here in the mind to putting Him on completely. True believers have experimental thoughts of Christ. Ryle says this, there is all the difference in the world between knowing that a man is a doctor or a lawyer while we never have occasion to employ him, or knowing him as our own because we've gone to him for medicine or law. Just in the same way, there is a wide difference between head knowledge and experimental thoughts of Christ. The person who thinks of Christ this way is a happy, happy person. The person who puts Him on and goes from admiring Him to actually wearing Him and living and moving and having their being in Christ and experiencing Him is a happy person. What do you think of Christ? It's there for you. He's there for you. His fullness. Number four, true Christians have loving and reverent thoughts of Christ. Loving and reverent thoughts of Christ means that they love to please Him. If you love me, you'll obey my commands. Loving and reverent thoughts. They're going to drive a believer to wanting to do His will, wanting to be in line with what His desires and His plans are for our lives. Loving and reverent thoughts of Christ are going to have us walking out and chasing after the will of God for our lives and not our own will. They're going to change us from being people who despise obeying Him to people who love it and find joy and pleasure and peace in obeying Him because we have loving and reverent thoughts of Him. We want to keep His word. It's like a husband who really loves his wife, who really has loving and reverent thoughts. If you have loving and reverent thoughts of your wife, you're not going to run around. You're going to be drawn to her. You're going to respect her. You're going to care for her. You're going to give her your all. And it's going to be a pleasure. It's going to be a joy, not a chore, but a joy. Because you have loving and reverent thoughts. We need to be people who have loving and reverent thoughts of Christ. They don't find His yoke heavy or His burden painful to bear, or His commandments grievous, because we have loving and reverent thoughts of Him. And so, the yoke is light. The burden is easy. Because we have loving and reverent thoughts of Christ. Like Mr. Steadfast in Pilgrim's Progress. Mr. Steadfast. When he said, as he stood by the river, he said this, I have loved to hear my Lord spoken of. And whenever I have seen the print of His shoe in the earth, there I have coveted to set my foot over it. Loving and reverent thoughts. Where is Jesus leading me? That's where I want to go. What is He telling me to do? That's what I want to do. The person who thinks this way of Christ is going to be a happy person. What do you think of Christ? What do you think of Him? Number five, true Christians have hopeful thoughts of Christ. Hopeful thoughts. I hope this is encouraging to everybody. It encouraged me. It challenged me and it encouraged me, all of these points, these characteristics. Made me go, you're right. That's right. That's right. When I have trustful thoughts of Christ, man, my day's so much better. I love having experimental, experiential thoughts of Christ. I love putting them on and really experiencing Him. I love having loving and reverent thoughts of Christ. It's such a much better way to live. I love His ways. I love obeying Him. It's so easy. The flesh fights against the ways of God, and we can live in this, this way or that way. Never, you know, our conscience never clear and clean and feeling good because we're always torn between the two. We just need to have loving and reverent thoughts of Christ. So this has been something that's helped recalibrate my life. Recalibrate my thinking, tweak some things, get it right. This final one is that true Christians have hopeful thoughts of Christ. What do you put your hope in? As we're going into a new year, we're finishing 2013, we're going into 2014. What's your hope? Is it a new job? Is that going to change your life? Is that going to make everything better? A new house? A new car? Your kids moving out? Anyway, what is it? What's going to make your life all? What's your hope for 2014? What is it? More money? What's your hope? It's got to be Christ. If it's anything else, you're going to be disappointed. You're not going to be happy, happy, happy in 2014. You just won't be. You're going to be disappointed. It's going to fall short. You know, you get that new car and 6 months later, you know how it works. It gets dinged up and it's no longer new and we need to put our hope in Christ. The definition of hope is when Peter talked about Jesus Christ is our hope as he's introducing his letter. That word hope is defined deep desire and great expectation. Is Jesus Christ your hope? We need to have hopeful thoughts of Christ. He needs to be our deep desire and our great expectation. He needs to be what we're going after because when we do, we'll never be disappointed. He will never disappoint you. If you chase after Christ, you go after Him. If He's your deep desire, you will always be satisfied with Him. Always. Young ladies, you chase after a young man, I'm going to tell you right now, you're not always going to be happy and satisfied. Wait. Anyway. My daughter's growing up. I'm thinking of these things. Wait. Talk to your parents. Pray a lot. Nothing else. He's got to be our deep desire. Jesus has got to be your deep desire. You've got to have hopeful thoughts of Him. He's got to be your great expectation. What are you looking forward to? Jesus. I'm looking forward to Jesus. I'm looking forward to what God has for me this year. Not for my plans and all that. I can still plan things. And it's good to plan. We're called to plan. We got to be good stewards with what the Lord's given us. We've got to be hard workers. We've got to work unto the Lord. We've got to live unto the Lord. All things you do, do as unto the Lord. 1 Corinthians 10:31. You know, we've got to be those kinds of people. But our ultimate hope, our great expectation is in Jesus and in Him alone. You see, a true believer, a happy believer, is going to see Jesus as their great reward. Not the raise at work. Jesus. And ultimately, having hopeful thoughts of Christ is thinking about Him coming back. We need to be thinking about Jesus' return. We need to look forward to it. Whenever you have those thoughts, oh man, I want Jesus to come back, but I want Him to wait just a little bit longer because I want to do this, I want to do that, I really want to see, you know, my daughter get married or whatever and this and that before Jesus comes back. That's crazy thinking. I'm going to tell you right now. There are other things in your life that have taken the place of Jesus that are your hope, that are your deep desire, that you're dreaming of. There are other things that are taking the place of Him. He needs to be what you're dreaming of. His return. I'm going to tell you what, when He steps back on this earth and He comes back, everything else grows strangely dim. In fact, everything else finds its place. Really, everything else gets set perfect and right. We want Him to come back. Is He our hope? A happy believer, a true Christian, will have hopeful thoughts of Christ and will look forward to His return and say, "Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. I can't wait till You come back. Come on back. Let it be today." The person who thinks this way about Christ will be a happy person. What do you think of Christ? What are you thinking of Christ this Christmas? I want to conclude with another quote from J.C. Ryle. He says, "Thoughts such as these are the property of all true Christians. Some of them know more of them, and some of them know less, but all know something about them." Do you hear what he's saying there? He's saying you don't have to be like off the charts on every one of these, but we're going to have an understanding of these thoughts to some degree as believers. They do not always feel them equally at all time. They do not always find such things equally fresh and green in their minds. They have their winter as well as their summer, and their low tides as well as their high water. But all true Christians are more or less acquainted with these thoughts, these five thoughts that we just talked about this morning. In this matter, churchmen and dissenters, rich and poor, all are agreed if they are true Christians. In other things, they may be unable to agree and see alike, but they all agree in their thoughts about Christ. And so, what do you think of Christ? Not what do others think of Christ. Not what did this other person, you know, that you read or listened to their sermon recently, what do they think of Christ? But what do you think of Christ? Don't be satisfied with anything less than these loving, reverent, trustful, hopeful, experiential thoughts of Christ. Don't be satisfied with anything less. The Lord redeemed you. Christ came so that you could think this way of Him and live out of this reality, thinking of Him this way. This is how you're going to have a great Christmas. Not because your dad went and found the perfect gift for you or didn't find it yesterday. But you're going to have this kind of Christmas, a Christmas filled with joy and with true peace and happiness and fulfillment because you're thinking of Christ. And He's filling you up with Him. Enjoy Jesus this Christmas. Enjoy thinking on Him. Take these points and just explore them. Think more of Christ. Enjoy spending time with Him. I can't express the importance of that enough. Spend time with Him. Don't just have a quick thought of Christ and then get on thinking about all your other stuff. Give Him your first and your best and your most. Spend time with Him. Even as we're going into the new year and we're opening up the prayer room 24/7 and giving you an opportunity to come and just be with Jesus, be with God, just to sit in His presence and to wait and to listen for His voice. Take that opportunity. It's a great place to do that. It's a great time and a great opportunity to do that. But think of Christ. Enjoy celebrating Him with friends and with family. Lifting up His name. And have a Merry Christmas.